Hello and welcome to Charred, episode 7, Charred in New Haven Pizza Show. I can't believe we've already done 7 of these, Frank, or almost 7.
Time flies when you're having fun.
And eating pizza, yeah, it's very true. So thank you everyone, by the way, just off the top, for listening and watching and subscribing and liking, getting a lot of comments on the YouTube videos and social media. Like, I feel like it's been a great sort of start to this show.
Yeah, I mean, it's growing, you know, I mean, a little bit at a time, but we're going to keep going. And like Kevin said, I want to thank everyone as well. Please share, please like, please follow, and let us know what you want us to talk about. And also, if there's something that you don't like that we're saying or that you want to see, let us know that too.
Yeah, so today we're hanging out at the Parlor Pizza Joint. You might know this if you're familiar with Stratford. It's right on Ferry Boulevard. Awesome spot. So we're going to do this episode today where we're going to talk about pizza ovens, and Frank has some thoughts on all the different pizza ovens, best ways to cook pizza at home, that type of thing. And then we're going to talk about New Haven pizza tours, because I keep getting questions about people wanting to do their own New Haven pizza tours.
Yeah.
So we're going
to set them up.
We have some tips for that. Then we got some pizza news to get into too. But let's start with the ovens, Frank, the pizza ovens.
Sure.
Now, you could probably talk for days and days on this, but you know, some of the most popular things that people use at home are the Uni or their home oven.
Yep.
And then in a pizza place like this, you might see one of the fancy sort of wood-fired
deck ovens.
Yeah. So do you want to go over some of the most popular ones and we'll sort of talk about them?
Yeah. So before I talk about ovens, I want to talk about, most importantly, what bakes a pizza.
Okay.
So the core element of what bakes a pizza is heat. So you heat up some type of element on the bottom of your oven. So in Uni, it would be that tan-shaped pizza stone. In a home oven, if you have a pizza steel, it would be that. But the point being is a lot of people don't realize that heat bakes a pizza. So I tell people in my class all the time, heat bakes, fire burns.
Right.
That's the number one thing. When you launch a pizza, wherever you launch it, it starts to bake from the bottom through the top. You wait 2 or 3 minutes and the mozzarella actually starts to boil on top. That means that the heat's going all the way through the pizza. So that's very important for people to know. Also, if you're in a home oven, you don't have to turn your pizza. A lot of people make that mistake.
Oh, really?
Correct.
I make that mistake.
Yeah.
So in the Uni, you turn it.
But
not in the home oven.
Yeah, not in the home oven. So probably what I'm going to start, kind of the segue, is I'm going to talk about home ovens first.
Yep.
And then we'll talk about what I call the portable ovens,
okay,
which are the Uni, Rockbox, Gonzi, and multiple hundreds of other ones that are out there. So the best bang for your buck, honestly, is a pizza steel for your home oven. It's about $100, $125 bucks. They come in 3 sizes, and sizes are thickness, 1/4 inch, 3/8, or 1/2 inch. Mm-hmm. So that's the thickness of the plate.
Yep.
The more heat you can retain, the better your pizza is going to come out. And the less time you have to stop making pizzas so that you wait for that stone or steel to reheat again. Mm. Without getting too far into it, bang for your buck, pizza steel for your home oven. Make sure you measure the steel 2-3 times before you buy anything. I tell people to make a cardboard template wherever and whatever pizza steel you buy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because I've had some people who take in my class and I talk about pizza steels all the time.
Yeah.
And they keep, you know, they go like this and they go like this. And then 2-3 weeks later, I'll get an email or a call from them. And they're like unhappy with me because they bought a pizza steel and they can't close their oven door.
Oh, it sticks out. Okay.
Yeah, it sticks out. So you can't close the door.
Yeah.
The thing that the ovens, most people, so there's the convection oven and a traditional non-convection oven. Mm-hmm. So the old school ovens are fine, meaning you can, most of the pizza steels will fit in a regular old oven. Old meaning 10, 15, 20 years old.
Yeah.
16x16 is the size that fits most. But the convection ovens are very different.
Yeah.
Because they have this circle in the back, which makes the convection in the oven. So you have to buy a smaller steel because it looks like it'll fit, but it won't.
Yeah.
Point being is, measure twice. Buy once.
It's like, and it's the heat, like you said, it's a heat sponge. I've heard you say it before.
Yeah.
Where you want that heat to be in that steel. And then once it's heated up, you usually say like an hour to preheat it.
Yeah, preheat an hour, 550, whatever the highest temperature your oven goes. But yeah, whether it's a steel or a stone or a cast iron pan, you have to heat up what you're going to put the pizza on top. You can really make like a restaurant quality pizza in your home oven.
Yeah.
And generally the rule of thumb is 8 to 10 minutes on top of the steel or stone or whatever you have in there. And then the last minute or two, put the broiler on.
So I've done this in my house and it works great. And the first couple times I didn't use the broiler and I was like, oh, this is good. And then you told me the broiler tip and it makes a world of difference. It just like finishes it off. You know?
Right. Yeah. That's the, you know, the hardest part with making pizza in general, whether you're in a pizza steel, an uni, a $50,000 commercial oven, is to get that balance of top and bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you'll either have a bottom that's really hot and that heats up, but then it starts to burn.
Yep.
And then you have kind of like a white top on it.
Right.
So it's a balance, but the broiler creates the balance that you want.
Now, a lot of people ask about getting the crisp, like on the bottom, because, you know, a lot of times it gets chewy. And now, and that's probably has something to do with the dough, but does that have to do with the heat too, with the oven?
It has a lot to do with the heat. That's why it's important to preheat at least an hour.
Yep.
Highest temperature you can.
Okay.
The longer that you leave that pizza on the steel, the better undercarriage or whatever you want to, some people call it, get. But again, you have to be careful because you leave it on there too long and it's going to burn. And there's a big difference between char and burn.
That's right, just true.
We'll just say that right up front. But yeah, that broiler is key.
Yeah.
But one last tip on the broiler, check every 15 seconds.
Okay.
Another mistake people make with home ovens.
They just let it go for a few minutes.
Right, and then it's literally black.
Yeah.
But don't open the door as well. Every time you open the door, you let a lot of the heat out. Mm, so now the oven's got to work even harder.
Yeah.
So that's not particularly, you know, we're going to talk about pizza ovens. We're talking about pizza ovens. I consider your home oven really a pizza oven. Because for $100, $125, you can buy something really cool and makes really good pizza. So I think without talking too much more about it, I don't want to beat a dead horse. The pizza steel in your oven, in your home oven, is probably the best thing. Bang for your buck.
Yeah, and there's a million on Amazon. That's where I bought mine. You can just find them right on there.
Right. Make sure you get it seasoned if you can. If you can, also make sure you get it cut in half because they're really heavy. So if you cut it in half, now you only have to carry half in there. You just butt them up against each other and you're done.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Now the Unis have become really popular, and then there's other companies now that have the pizza ovens.
Gonzi, Rockbox, blah, 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 blah.
So what are your like best tips for people who get those? Because I feel like people open them and then they might go to the app or the instruction booklet and read it. But for the most part, they're like, well, I just get the propane tank, fire it up, and I'm ready to cook pizza. But there's a couple little tricks of the trade with those too.
Yeah, there's a bunch. So those ovens are awesome. And they're really sexy because they look good and they smell good. So here's the thing. Assuming most people that are watching this show are New Haven Pizza fans, most of those ovens were designed and created to make Neapolitan pizza.
Right.
So Neapolitan pizza is fast and hot. It's a fast bake, 60 to 90 seconds, really hot oven, 850 to 900 degrees Fahrenheit. New Haven is low and slow. Low temperature, 550 to 650 Fahrenheit, 8 to 10 minute bake. Here's the big thing. A lot of those new consumer ovens don't have any insulation. They are designed to make Neapolitan pizza,
which
is basically in and out in a minute, minute and a half. So they don't need any insulation, because the pizzas aren't in there that long.
Yep.
So the trick to make New Haven style pizza in an Uni, a Rockbox, Gonzi, is you basically, first thing is you gotta have an IR gun. IR gun is infrared.
Oh, to get the temp.
To get the temp.
Yep.
I start in the back corner and I zigzag back and forth along the stone.
Yeah, so I have an Uni at home and I always think of it as like high, medium, low, going from the back left forward, diagonally.
Right. So the burner, and every oven's a little bit different. Like many of the Uni ovens have an L-shaped burner. Some of the newer ones have the burner in the back. Some of the Gonzis have it on the left. I mean, it all depends. But wherever the fire or the flame is, assuming most people have gas ovens, they obviously sell pellets and wood. Yep. But most people that buy these portable ovens have gas.
I feel like those get dirty and like hard to clean and the wood and the pellets.
Definitely. You know, it's a little bit more work for sure. Yeah. But wherever that flame is going to be the hottest. So to your point, when you shoot the gun, start back where the flame is, and again, zigzag back and forth. But here's the trick. The trick is most of those ovens have pizza stones, so those light brown stones.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know this, but on Etsy, and I think even some of the manufacturers, are now actually making steel plates.
Oh, wow.
It's the same footprint as that corduroy stone that comes with the oven, but the steel plate's going to conduct more heat.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Preheat that oven 15, 20 minutes, maybe even half an hour. Mm. 750. Launch your pizza. Turn the gas off. Literally, turn it off. And then rotate your pizza every minute to minute and a half.
Yeah, because once you get it to that temperature, it's not going to just cool down right away. So you'll have enough heat to cook it. So you can turn off the flame and let it cook.
And that's how you counteract the engineering of a real hot oven, where you literally take the heat that was harnessed in the stone or steel, and you let it bake the pizza.
Yep.
To your point, wherever the flame is, it's going to be the hottest, so you want to turn the pizza so that it gets an even bake underneath.
Right.
Then once you get the pizza to where you want it, and everyone's got a different, you know, personal preference with that, mm-hmm. you put the gas back on. Low.
So that's like the broiler.
Bingo.
To get the top.
Right. And then that should finish off the top of the pizza.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
You know, trying to make New Haven style pizza in an oven that's designed for Neapolitan is not difficult. It just takes time.
Yeah,
you're going to make some clunkers.
Different strategy to do it. Yeah.
100%. It's all strategy.
Now, if you did want to make the Neapolitan style, maybe somebody's a fan of that. They want to make that with the uni.
Yep.
And that comes to the dough, too. Isn't it the different flour?
Yeah. So the flour for Neapolitan's 00. There's actually a little bit more water. So here's the thing. I tell people the biggest mistake people make with these portable ovens is they actually read the directions.
Yeah.
For New Haven. For Connecticut.
Right, right.
So if you want to make a Neapolitan pizza, follow the uni directions and instructions.
Yeah,
to
they got
the
it
tape.
All there. Yeah.
Everything's there. The recipe's there. How to do it is there. How to preheat it is there. But if you want to do New Haven, you definitely have to follow some of the advice I gave. And then there's a bunch of stuff online as well.
Now, the pizza ovens that they have in pizza places, like we're here at the Parlor Pizza Joint in Stratford, those are usually like imported from Italy or from a pizza oven manufacturer. But does it still work on the same premise? I mean, it must, where it's just bigger, right? Or there's different... Because I know some of them put the wood in it in the back and all that.
Yeah, so I tell everyone heat is heat.
Right.
Heat bakes the pizza. You know, the big difference between a commercial oven and an uni or your home oven is capacity.
True.
And for a pizzeria primarily makes money selling pizzas. Duh.
Right.
So they need to have the biggest chamber they can. And most importantly, they need to have consistent heat.
Yeah.
So, like, the biggest, the most busiest times for any pizzeria is during Lent. Mm. Friday nights, a lot of the Catholics don't like to, you know, it's not supposed to eat meat. But the point being, without getting religious, because I'm not going there, I was talking to a gentleman that owns this before, and he said, you know, Friday, Saturdays, he's making 400 or 500 pizzas.
Wow.
So he's got to have a big oven, and the most important thing in a commercial oven, one of the most important things, is insulation.
Yes.
Because insulation keeps the heat in the oven.
Because you're doing it for hours on end, days on end, trying to cook all these pizzas.
Right. The best way I can describe what happens in an oven when you launch a pizza is if you take a glass of water and assume that it doesn't have any, you know, it's clear glass of water, you put a straw in.
Mm-hmm.
You put a pizza in the oven, take a sip of water. Water level goes down. Every time you put a pizza in an oven, the oven temperature goes down.
Because it's absorbing the heat? Yep.
Correct. Because the wet dough, the moisture from the wet dough, the heat is actually sucking. The heat is being sucked out of whatever the surfaces that you're baking the pizza on.
Yeah.
So every time that you make a pizza, whether it's in your home oven, uni, or commercial oven, it takes heat away, and that's the challenge in a pizzeria.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. So any if anyone has needs any more tips, you can email Frank.
Yeah.
Email us, email Chard.
And we're going to talk more about this. We're trying to get things going.
Absolutely. But yeah, have fun cooking your pizzas. The next thing I wanted to talk about, so I got a bunch of DMs and an email about people wanting to, and I get these all the time, actually, from friends of mine, family. They want to come to New Haven and do their own pizza tour. And they say, like, oh, I want to try, you know, Pepe's and Sally's and Moderate. Like, how should I do it? But, there's always lines. There's almost like a science to it. So do you have any advice for people who want to do their own DIY sort of New Haven pizza tour?
Yeah, so best advice I can give you for DIY pizza tour, specifically in New Haven. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I love Sally's, Pepe's, and Moderate. They're iconic. They're world-class. Ton of history. And I tell people, to be fair, randomly pick one of the three.
Okay.
Go to one of the three.
Yeah.
But you're missing out on a lot if you just go to Sally's, Pepe's, and Modern.
Right, because there's a ton even just right in that little block, right in that little neighborhood.
Correct.
Yeah.
So on Worcester Street, and I know this is New Haven, well, it's not particularly New Haven pizza show. We talk about a lot of different things, but where I'm going with this, across the street from Pepe's is a place called Zanelli.
Yep.
They make Neapolitan pizza, super popular. It's something very different. It's not New Haven. It's Neapolitan, but it's really good. So for New Haven, I would try one of the three, Sally's, Pepe's, Modern.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
And then maybe peek over at the line and the other one if you want to try another one and just see.
Right. Around the corner from Modern is a place called Next Door, which mm-hmm. is where I do a lot of my classes. A lot of people don't know Next Door came from Big Green Pizza Truck.
Oh, yeah, right.
Doug Coffin, who owns Next Door.
We did an episode with him.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you like Big Green Pizza Truck pizza and you don't want to wait for the Big Green Truck pizza to come to your house, you can go to Next Door and get Big Green Truck pizza there. So Next Door, there's a place on Whaley Avenue called Ernie's, which we've also been to.
Yeah.
Really good. Pat has been there and his family been there 50 years.
Unbelievable pizza, yeah.
Unbelievable pizza. I highly recommend the meatball pie if you go to Ernie's. Delegna has been there a long time. I personally have never been there, but I've heard all really good things about it. That's down the street from Modern on State Street. Place called Frisco's on Forbes Ave. John Frisco's been making pizza for a long, long time. It's probably one of the biggest hidden gems out there.
Yeah.
It's kind of in, if everyone knows where Brothers Harley used to be on Forbes Ave, used to be kind of a seedy place, but John does a great job. His pizzas are amazing. I highly recommend Frisco's. Trying to think what else in New Haven.
Now, if you're going to, now you got to obviously have an agenda. So if you're going to do this on like a Saturday, I guess you'd want to start at like 11 a.m. so you can like hit up as many as you can, right? Depending on when they open.
Yeah. So I know this is going to sound crazy, but if I was doing a pizza tour, a DIY pizza tour in New Haven, I would not go on a weekend. I would take some time off from work with a friend or a couple friends and go during the week.
Tuesday. Yeah, just a random weekday.
So the general thought process or the general thing that works is any day before 4 is a great day to go to any of these pizzerias, even the big three.
Yeah, because then you get into dinner time.
Right. So generally speaking, we've had many fights at my house when I used to take my family down there because we said, hey, rear end in seat at 4 o'clock. That means we're on the road to go there.
Yeah.
So Sally's, Pepe's, Modern before 4 during the week. Weekends, it's kind of, you know, if it's raining or snowing, you got a good day, but there's going to be lines there.
Yeah.
And sometimes people love the lines because it's part of the culture. All the other places, are busy, but not crazy.
Yeah. All right. So I guess go on a weekday. You know, try to pick one of the big three.
Yep.
And then try to hit up some of these other ones. Because then if someone asked you in the future, you'd be like, well, I tried, Ernie's, and it was so good. And then you become the expert after you've done your DIY pizza.
And I forgot to mention bar, too. I'd be remiss if I didn't. Bar.
So the advantage to those are you can sort of walk and, walk around downtown New Haven and hit up some of the bars and, have a little time.
Yeah, the cool place about bars, there's a theater across the street, and then It's College Street, and then there's, I forget what the name of it is, but the bottom line is if you go to one of those shows, going to a bar after is pretty cool because it's right there.
Yeah. All right, Frank, let's get into some pizza news now.
Let's do it.
Stories here that have come out in the past week since we've done our last episode. So the first one, I know you have thoughts on this. This is sort of, we're kind of rehashing the story that we did the last time, that Sally's Beats is expanding. So, you know, we talked a lot about that with Pepe's and Sally's, and this was everywhere like a week and a half ago. All the new sites in Connecticut were like, four new locations in Connecticut. They're expanding.
Oh, shit.
I know you have thoughts on that. I want to hear why. But first, let me just say what the story was. So this summer, Sally's has announced they will open restaurants in Wethersfield, West Farms Mall, which is up in the northern part of the state. And then later in the year, they're going to open the Sono Collection in Norwalk and in Newington. So you think those aren't going to happen, or they are going to happen?
No, they're definitely going to happen. The thing that I laugh about, and I love Sally's. I do. I've been going there as long as I can remember. We used to have standing reservations when the Consiglios owned it. You know, we were the people that you hated. But it's kind of like sometimes I say to myself, if Sally's got a new brand of toilet paper, that would make the news.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So they are going to physically open. It just won't be the same.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's not just me. I hear a lot online, and people talk to me all the time, what's going on. They make a lot of announcements, but they don't open things. And some things have been announced literally for years.
I mean, I was at the Sono Collection recently, and they have the whole sign up. So it would be wild if they didn't open it, because there's the sign, the storefront, and I was like, is this open? I thought it was open. Yeah. I'm like, is Sally's open already?
So I'm all about promotion. I mean, people that know me personally and know Pizza Gavones and my pizza school. I mean, you know, I promote as much as I can, and I have no problem with it, and I respect it. It's just like, how many times are you going to announce openings for things that, you know,
that are later this year or the summer? Or,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my only thing.
We'll have to see if it happens. So they obviously have the Massachusetts location in Woburn, and then they're planning a Boston Seaport location, which that Seaport area in Boston's awesome.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that would be neat. That would do really well if they did that.
Yeah.
Now, how's this for a transition? Going from some of the best pizza in the world to some of the worst pizza in the world. Now, it's all relative, you know, it's
sure,
depending on your taste. Like if you like, everyone has different tastes for different pizzas, but this site, they're called 24/7 Wall Street. This was going viral. They listed their top five worst pizza chains. Now, it's not just their opinion. They actually went and got data. What they did was they went to all the different food review sites and blogs,
yep,
and looked at the one star reviews or the bad reviews on multiple sites and cross-referenced them, and what pizza places got mentioned the most in the bad reviews. So that's how they came up with this list. So they give the name of the place and then the common criticisms that was the most, you know, that they were the most criticized for. So I'm going to go from 5 to 1. You give me a quick thought on each one. So number 5 is Domino's, which we talked about.
Situational.
One of our, yeah, situational pizza. The common criticisms: lack of consistent quality, low quality toppings.
Yeah, you know, you're not, when you're getting Domino's, you're hungry or broke. One of the two.
Right. You can't be expecting high quality toppings.
Yeah, you can't.
Number 4 is Papa Murphy's, which I'm not familiar with. This might be in other parts of the country.
Never heard of it.
I grew up in the Northeast of Massachusetts, so I'm familiar with Papagino's, which is delicious. But Papa Murphy's common criticisms: inferior ingredients, crust texture.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, I love Irish, and I'm a little bit Irish, but Papa and Murphy being Irish, probably no good.
And crust texture, I mean, if you're coming from New Haven, like, you're going to have some thoughts about crust texture.
Yeah, you got high bar there. High bar.
And coming in at number 3, Little Caesars, which I'm not a huge fan of. I've had in the past. I'd rather have Domino's and Little Caesars are the same to me, and Papa John's and all of those. Little Caesars just comes in last for me.
I have to tell you that I'm not a fan of Little Caesars pizza at all, but I basically ate from probably 15 to 23 on Little Caesars Crazy Breads.
Oh, the Crazy Bread.
Yeah.
The Crazy Bread's kind of a part.
Well done. You got to get the Crazy Breads well done. The dipping sauce. See, everything has changed. When I used to go in the Little Caesars, there was one in this little obscure corner in Milford.
Yeah.
And I knew the guy, and he used to see me come in, and he used to take the breads out of the bag. I used to tell him to make sure that they're heated well. Point being is, you go into a Little Caesars now, and it's like a candy dispenser.
Yeah.
Everything's pre-made. The people barely say hi to you.
Right.
But that's a whole other story.
Now, their common criticism was low quality ingredients, which seems to be a common theme with these. Number 2, CC's, which I'm also not familiar. Again, these might be other parts of the country. Might be a regional thing.
Yep.
Common criticisms for CC's: lack of freshness, flavorless sauce, and off-putting cheese consistency. So this doesn't sound like a pizza that anybody should have.
I've heard of CC's. I've never had it.
Okay. And the number one, we could do a worst pizza tour. We could go to all the worst pizza places. Ooh. We might have to do that in the future. And the number one, coming in number one, drum roll please, Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, which the Chuckster.
Young 5-year-old Kevin has some thoughts on Chuck E. Cheese, because I lived for Chuck E. Cheese, because every birthday party you would go to as a young kid would be at Chuck E. Cheese. It was just like the only place around.
Didn't you work at Chuck E. Cheese?
No, no, no. I worked at a Pizzeria Uno. You're getting
confused.
Oh,
sorry, yeah.
But that would be funny if I worked at a Chuck E. Cheese. But first, the common criticisms of Chuck E. Cheese. Lack of freshness, unappetizing cheese. Again, it was delicious when I was five. Toppings that lack quality, cardboard-like crust, and high prices. So if you're going to Chuck E. Cheese, you know you're in for, like, the video games and the whole experience. Like,
yeah,
the price is the price. It's not really a pizzeria. You're going for bringing the kids for a birthday party. Cardboard-like crust, I mean, I guess they're cranking out all these pizzas for all these kids. Usually a 5-year-old kid doesn't care. I think the reason why I'm so fond of it is because of the nostalgia. So years later, last year, I took my daughter to a birthday party at a Connecticut Chuck E. Cheese, and I had some of the pizza, and it took me right back. And and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. And the only time I've ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, I remember, because I still have pictures of my son. We took him to, like, his fifth birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure I had a slice. You know, I had to watch the kids and stuff. But the point being is, yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of places in West Haven, because where I grew up, that have that, you know, you connect a flavor or a pizza with a memory.
Right.
And to you, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just
I would never admit that, but
it was their number one worst pizza with all the with all the negative reviews. I think it's probably stressed out parents too at the birthday party. Like, this pizza's terrible. There's so much noise. Why? What are all these games? And that was the number one. So next story we have is a local story here in Connecticut. Just want to shout this guy out real quick. E&D Pizza Company in Avon.
Yep.
So, you know, you're familiar?
Well, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
So he was at Pizza Expo.
That's what the article said, yeah.
Yeah, and I never met him, and I didn't know about him, but I know they came out with a new book.
Yeah, so I have it right here. So Michael Andrew is his name, and he was recently named the vice president of the World Pizza Champions Team, which is a nonprofit organization that comprises of elite pizza people.
Yep.
In the book, the World Pizza Organization book is entitled The Pursuit of Pizza, Recipes for the World Pizza Champions.
Yes.
So that's the book, and he has a a pizza in it called the Positano, which is obviously named after the town in Italy.
Yeah.
Which I went to on my honeymoon. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. It was beautiful there. But he has a pizza recipe in the book, so it's called the Positano. It sounds delicious. It's a white pie topped with goat cheese, black mission figs, red onion, and then he finishes it with a drizzle of pepper-infused hot honey.
They're coming for us. They're coming.
Yeah, here come the sirens. But I love the hot honey on pizza.
Ah, yeah.
It's so good. But yeah, we'll have to get up to that place one time, maybe to do an episode.
Yeah, I got to reach out to him, and hopefully I'm going to tag him on here. And
Yeah, because it's obviously family-owned. He started in 2014, named it after his two sons, Enzo and Dario. So yeah, the pizza photos look delicious too.
Yeah. I heard he's a super nice guy too.
Yeah.
I just never met him.
Yeah, we'll have to reach out and see if we can get him on an episode.
Definitely.
Before we wrap up, just want to give a quick update on Connecticut Pizza and Brew Fest, brought to you by Brown Roofing, that we have coming up in August on the 11th.
Yeah, I'm excited. We've got over 20 pizza trucks there. I think two or three live bands. It's going to be a really fun day. I told you already that I already talked to God, and we're not going to have any rain or torrential downpours like we did last year, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and if you want to get tickets, you can get them now already, ctpizzaandbrewfest.com. And if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, last year we did this for the first time, and this year we're going even bigger. We got a ton of breweries coming, a lot of pizza places, pizza trucks, fun for the whole family. It's going to be a great time. So, yeah, definitely. And we're going to do pizza panels too again, and I think we're going to do a live version of this podcast.
Yeah, if you like pizza, beer, and music, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Pizza, beer, music.
I don't even know if we say it. It's at the Harvard Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport.
August 11th.
Which is a great, huge space to have it. So it's going to be super fun. And that wraps up episode 7 of Charred, a New Haven Pizza Show. Make sure you subscribe and follow on YouTube, every podcast platform. Thank you for everyone who's been doing it so far. All the social media is Charred New Haven. And make sure you share it with your friends. And just remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.
All right, sweet. Oh, yeah.